Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Stephen Jones joined the KMC Masterpiece yesterday, as he does every Cowboys Monday, to give us an update on everything. Mike McCarthy actually gave more updates. McCarthy said Connor McGovern will remain the Cowboys' starting left guard against the Raiders. Said he played okay, and it just wasn't a great game for anybody up front, as we all knew. Donovan Wilson is definitely out. DeMarcus Lawrence is close, not for this week, but after that. McCarthy said CeeDee Lamb was in all of the team meetings yesterday. A good sign. He has a chance to play against the Raiders. And then Steven was asked about Tyron. Like, what happened? Are you optimistic? And is this injury going to linger throughout the rest of the year when Tyron does come back?
You know, I think it's the full body of work there. I mean, you put everything into the equation and you make the decision. But I think the bigger decision right there was just, you know, how he felt, you know, leading up to the game. And, you know, we really felt like we needed to get him, you know, some practice in. He got a little bit in, but not a lot. And, you know, was still feeling it to some degree, and you got to take note of that. And certainly, you know, we've got to do everything that we think's in our best interest, you know, for the entirety of the season. And I don't think this is anything that we're going to have to manage, not unlike Dak. Same as Dak, we just feel like once, you know, he's ready to roll, he'll be ready to go, and feel like he's ready to, you know, barring some unforeseen setback this week, he should be ready to play this Thursday.
So I'm going to guess, again, at the risk of sounding stupid and wrong again, Tyron will play at left tackle, McGovern at left guard, Collins at right tackle, Terrence Steele back to the bench, and I'm not going to fall for this with CD. I'm going to guess that CD Lamb is out. Although, isn't it amazing with concussion protocol how we've changed? CD got the concussion on Sunday, and on Thursday, he would still be ruled out. We know Amari Cooper is out as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, it used to be like, oh, wink, wink, he'll be fine. You know, now it's way, way different than that. So, player safety is certainly still something we snicker at from the league's perspective. I don't think the league really cares. But they do care more than they used to, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good thing.
Jordan Lewis also tweeted yesterday, help us fight or stay the blank out the way. And I was a little smart aleck writing back. Are you tweeting to the offense? Help us fight or stay the blank out the way. I'm sure he was talking to some disgruntled fans. Sometimes Jordan will shoot off those types of messages on his social media account. So Cowboys, on Thursday, we will preview it with the playmaker Michael Irvin at 8 o'clock. NFC East was playing last night. It did not go well for the New York Giants against Tommy Boy.
Five in the secondary. Shotgun snap to Brady. Cox his right arm. Throws a line drive laser in the end zone. Caught chest high. Touchdown. A yard deep in the middle. Evans got the ball. Touchdown Tampa Bay. And they build on their lead. Middle of the third. 23-10 on a five-yard touchdown pass. Tom Brady to Mike Evans.
The great Kevin Harlan on Westwood won 30-10. Tampa Bay over the Giants. Tom Brady has now gone 288 starts without losing three straight. Longest in NFL history. Longest streak in NFL history. Now has gone 288 starts. And this thing was over early. Giants are unwatchable to me.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it was 10-10, but it wasn't really 10-10. It was like, you know, you didn't really feel like it was.
And the Giants with a season low 215 total yards.
Mm.
215. This week of offense in the NFL was crazy. Crazy low.
Yeah, this was a bad week of offense. And this was semi-decent good. This is decent weather. This was good weather to be able to play football in. So the Giants are terrible. The Bucks. This was a get-through game for them. So all this was just a get-through game. Get right, you know, avoid that three-game losing streak and keep going.
877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text to hit us up here on Sean and RJ. Major League Baseball Hall of Fame ballot has come out, and it's a juicy one. There are 13 first-timers. For the final time, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, Sammy Sosa will have a chance to get in. It's the first time opportunity for David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez, Ryan Howard, and Tim Lincecum. What is going to happen with the cheaters and the users? Bonds, Clemens, Schilling, by the way, is not in that category. Schilling is being kept out because people think he's a political wacko, which is totally unfair and wrong. It is absolutely wrong. Unless he advocates for mass murders, like, I don't think he's done enough, on his Twitter account or whatever he has had to say politically to be kept out of the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's not right. He is getting robbed more than anybody else, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he is too. Now, there is a question still. I mean, there are a lot of people have a question on how much deserving he is for the Hall of Fame anyway.
All right, how much do you think it's baseball career related versus, you know, Twitter related? You think it's like 50-50? Or you think it's like 70-30? It's about what he's been saying after his career.
I think some of it is obviously what he has been saying, but a lot of it is. Okay. So there's a score. There's a number. It's called Jaws. All right. And this guy this Jay Jaffe, I think, came up with this. And it's basically an accumulation of where you would rank. And he is ranked ahead of Tom Glavin. He's one above Mike Mussina. Two spots above Tom Glavin, three spots above Nolan Ryan, all time. Now, he's not a better pitcher than Nolan Ryan, but based on this formula, he belongs in the same category as them. If Mike Mussina's in, Curt Schilling needs to be in. This is like those two guys were so close in what they did, their careers, that they need to, if one's in, the other one needs to be in. That's kind of how you got to do it.
You know, my big advice to the cheaters is, man, Barry Bonds and Clemens need to sit down and do an interview. Or they need to come out with something that warms us up, makes us feel sympathy for them. Now, it's not going to happen, especially with Barry. I don't believe so. But if I was their agent, if I was their advisor, I would say, sit down. Maybe all of you together or just individually, mm-hmm. and just be very, very genuine and remorseful, because I don't think they're going to get in. Now, there's a thought that they were going to get in. They're just going to have to wait till the final year and sweat it out.
That's this year.
We're going to leave you out there to sweat it out, and that is right now. So you got to get 75% of the vote to be inducted. 75%. Schilling got 71 last year. I think he gets in. Bonds got 62. Clemens got 61 and change. What do you think happens with him, RJ?
I don't know. I do think that this was their punishment. I think their punishment was to get in on the final year, make them wait. I can't imagine a Hall of Fame that doesn't include Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens. Now, before PEDs, was Roger Clemens truly a Hall of Famer? I mean, he had like six very, very good years, but you know, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before the PEDs, before he saw Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa put on the show. And that's kind of when he's alluded to, and the thought is that he started, juicing up a little bit, is after the McGwire-Sosa year.
When do you think Clemens started?
97. So Roger Clemens, if you go down there, look, his career, all right, he goes 93, his ERA goes from a 2.41 to a 4.46. Then in limited starts the next year, He had a 285, then a 418, and a 363. And then, bam, he gets traded to Toronto. Cy Young, back-to-back years.
205 and a 265.
And that's in the middle of the PED era.
And then Houston, at 40 years of age, he went 298, 187, and a 230. That's what I remember the most about. I remember Toronto, and I remember Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, you got the Yankees and the Red Sox, but I was like blown away by him in Toronto and with the Astros at his age.
Well, that's when he was at his best. You know, his best was, you know, not, I mean, I obviously his best was, you know, 1990. 2005 was tremendous. But, you know, was it the old Dan Duquette said he's kind of dying out, like his career's fizzling. He's lost something on his fastball. And then, bam, he gets traded to Toronto and then just shoots up there again. Literally. So, I don't know. I don't know if Clemens was a Hall of Famer when he, by the time he got to Toronto. I know Barry Bonds was by the time he started juicing.
His ERA in Boston was still 306.
It was. Now, a lot of that was because he went 248, 297, 293, 313, 193, 262, 241. And then he goes 446, 285, 418, 363. It was a little bit higher. Still, very, very good numbers. Very, very good numbers.
So, what do you think?
I think you have to. I think they get in.
You think they will get in?
Yeah, I think all three of them will.
So you think this was just a way to punish them?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to lean that way, but I'm 55-45 here. It's barely.
Will Ortiz get in first ballot?
Ortiz has somehow skated the entire anonymous survey testing of 03. He's never had that stick to him, even though he was
like a couple of Rangers.
Yeah, right. So I think Ortiz does get in. A-Rod got no chance.
Ever.
I don't think ever. He's hateable.
So is Bonds.
And he tested positive twice. Bonds never tested positive. That's what the Bonds always has going for him.
Mm.
A-Rod tested positive twice. He's like Manny.
All right, there's a report that Luka may have re-aggravated his injury. He was scrimmaging yesterday. He was practicing. And then the Dallas Morning News said, while Jason Kidd was talking to the media, Luka was heard slamming something against the bleachers, and there was a thought that maybe he re-aggravated something. So we're looking out for an update on that before the Mavs are back in action tonight. It's going to be a late one against the Clippers in L.A. So that would be a nightmare for the Mavericks, who have already lost three straight games. But the game of the night is the Stars hosting Edmonton. So Mavs are going to play at 9:30, but the Stars hosting Edmonton, who are 13-4. Stars are at 500, and we got a show in town.
Connor McDavid, man, this is the truth. He is in town. And then Draisaitl's the other guy who's just having an amazing year. But Connor McDavid is that, like, he is the new Sidney Crosby. Might be better than Sidney. Two MVPs in, what, 6 years? Dude's a beast.
What is going to be the final four for college tonight?
I think it's going to be, I think obviously Georgia, then Ohio State, then Alabama, and then Cincinnati.
We'll find out.
That's your top four.
At 8 o'clock this morning, the playmaker, Michael Irvin from BetQL. Insider calls presented by BetQL. They're here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. today. So Michael Irvin at 8, is he disappointed in Amari Cooper? Michael has ended up looking, I'm trying to think about the Chiefs' opinion. He's looked better than I thought he would when he first came out and said that players needed to get vaccinated, otherwise they're letting their team down. I was like, whoa, like that is going to bring you backlash. But there's a lot of players and sports fans who have agreed with that. You're going to still have those that don't. But that did not blow up in Mike's face as much as I thought it would. And then he said that the Chiefs' run was over. Does he still feel the same way after Sunday? The dynasty's dead, and the Chiefs are going to miss the postseason. So I'll ask him about that. It doesn't look crazy. I wouldn't put my money on it right now. But Mike was looking good for a bit when Kansas City was struggling. And the offense still may have issues. Like, to put up 19 points against us and not have Randy Gregory or DeMarcus Lawrence out there, I mean, either the wind was really, really bad or they still have offensive issues there with Kansas City. So we'll talk to the playmaker about that to get you ready for Thanksgiving against the Raiders. Let's get to an edition of Overreaction or Not, focusing on the star.
All right, Cowboy overreactions. Let's do it. Number one, Dak Prescott is not healthy.
Dak Prescott is not healthy. No, he is healthy. He's running around fine. There's many things. And if he doesn't play well in this game, I'm not going to question his health. I'm going to question his accuracy and, like, how consistently good is he. Although I'm going to give a pass if CD's out. At some point in time.
CD out, though, shouldn't impact his accuracy.
Right.
Now, I guess the offensive line would impact it.
But how much of a pass, at what point do we say it doesn't matter if Lamb or Amari are both out? You still got to score 30. You still got to elevate. Because that's what great quarterbacks do.
They do. Elite quarterbacks do, at least.
Yes. I
mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers was without, he's been without some of his. Well, oh, yeah. I mean, look, shoot, the Cardinals are without Hopkins. They put up 30 with a backup.
Yeah. They're 2-1 without their quarterback and their receiver. The only thing that made me question Dak's arm on Sunday was the underthrow to CD, but I'm choosing to believe that the wind affected that, so I believe he is healthy. You?
He's either unhealthy or the offensive line has caused him to be bad. I don't know. I assume that it is coinciding. His two worst games are coinciding with coming back from that calf injury. The two of the three. So he had his worst. He had a bad game, then his best game, then his worst game. That's kind of how it went.
Did they all coincide with Tyron being out as well?
Maybe. Maybe they do.
That's what I think it is. It's the offensive line not giving him that safe pocket.
All right, next one.
But again, we talk about this. The fan text has been, you know, loud about this. And I tried to say this when I was critical of Dak. He's been Silver Spoon. I called him Silver Spoon Prescott. Always a top-tier offensive line, always very nice weapons. He never had to go without as an NFL quarterback. And now, like, I'm going opposite, and some of the Tolos are taking my spot in criticizing him when it comes to a supporting cast.
All right, next one. Micah Parsons is this team's best defensive player since DeMarcus Ware.
Their best defensive player since DeMarcus Ware?
Change that up. Their best player since DeMarcus Ware.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's first cross off the defensive players. Who would be in the running? Tank?
Tank would be in the running.
Sean Lee? We count Sean Lee during that run, during that time?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, Ware was drafted in 04. So I think the year before was Terrence Newman was taken in 03, so we're going to leave him out of it.
Yeah. I'll say yes. It's almost an easy yes, which is why I assume you threw in the offense.
Yeah, go with the offense. Because Witten was drafted before Ware.
Okay.
So he is the best player in this franchise since DeMarcus Ware.
All right, so
I don't think the Cowboys have drafted a Hall of Famer since Ware,
so
right?
So who would be in the running? Romo, Dez. Well, he's not I can't say he's better than Tyron. Tyron's going to the Hall of Fame. So it'd be Tyron Smith, one on my list.
Zach, two.
Zach Martin.
Zach might be one.
Zach might be one. Tyron and Zach are 1 and 2.
Travis Frederick?
No, not oh. Travis Frederick.
Keep your mic off.
Struggling to pick names here.
I know, right?
Oh, he wants the segment to go faster. Wow. He's like, rush the segment. And then it would come down to Micah versus Dez and Micah versus Romo.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tough. I'll probably pick Micah over Dez and just behind Tony with a chance to be three behind the two offensive linemen.
Okay. I think I don't think he's the best player overall since Ware, but definitely the best defensive player.
That's a good question.
Thank you. Kellen Moore is a product of Dak Prescott.
Well, you have influenced me enough over the years to believe, that's why I'm so impressed with Sean Payton. Very few guys can go and have offensive productivity and put up points and put up a ton of yards. Almost no one can do it without the talent. So, of course, Kellen Kellen is always going to be a product of Dak and how he's playing. But I do believe when you look at this Cowboys offense, you'd be a fool and blind and just stubborn to say you haven't seen different things in this year's Cowboys offense in terms of scheme, trick plays, creativity that we did not get consistently under Jason Garrett. So if you tell me that Kellen Moore goes somewhere else and has talent, I'll believe he'll have a high-octane offense. But just like everyone else, if Kellen Moore has Daniel Jones, then I think he's on the hot seat just like Jason Garrett is.
If Kellen Moore has, yes, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely plays.
What coach have we praised in the last 5 or 10 years for being an elite offensive mind when they didn't have an elite quarterback? Who have we praised? And who's actually had that as a result? Who have been the best offensive minds in the NFL in the past 5 years? Sean Payton, Andy Reid, McCarthy was thrown into that for a little bit with Aaron Rodgers, but he had Rodgers. Reid had Donovan McNabb and Patrick Mahomes. I guess you had that year with Alex Smith with Andy Reid.
Still was the overall number one pick.
Kyle Shanahan had Matt Ryan, and then Sean McVay had Jared Goff. So
McVay's had two quarterbacks. His only two quarterbacks he's had, both were selected number one.
Yep.
Shanahan's the only one that hasn't had a number one overall pick at quarterback, or he's had a first rounder, been Matt Ryan,
yeah,
but not in San Francisco yet. Trey Lance hasn't really started yet.
Yes.
So Shanahan's the only one, but, I mean, he doesn't win games either. It's tough. It's tough work out there. The Cowboys proved they are not ready for primetime teams.
Ooh, dang. This one's bugging me because I was so sure that they were a Super Bowl contender. And again, the Cowboys always seem to have that built-in excuse, but when do they need to overcome the excuse? That's what Tolos will tweet me all the time and write on the fan text. Everyone's dealing with an injury. Everyone is missing players. I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't have his top three receivers, and they beat Arizona in primetime. I mean, that is impressive. Brady has done it with guys missing. I'm still gonna say that they are ready for primetime. The thing that's hard to answer is, what do they believe? Do they have a seed of doubt? Are they like, man, we need to get a big win at some point in time here and there. But I can't punish them too much for no Tyron and missing your two receivers. I will still say they're ready for prime time, but I'm worried about this Raider game. I am worried about this Raider game being low scoring and being like a 4 or 5 point game with the way the Cowboys have been playing and the way they've been playing on Thanksgiving. What do you think?
I mean, look, two of their three losses were against the Super Bowl teams from last year on the road. Now, that would indicate they might not be ready for prime time, but also indicate that maybe they're just not as good as the two Super Bowl teams from last year. And that's fine.
Yeah.
The Denver game, it's one of those. I don't even worry about it. Now, look, they haven't played. Like, who else have they played that was this great team? You know, the Chargers are okay.
Right.
They played Carolina, and they played the Giants and
the Eagles and the Patriots.
Yeah. Now the Patriots. Now this was the Patriots were still kind of
getting going,
figuring themselves out at that point. So yes. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, come back to me when they play Arizona, I guess. If Tyron misses again this week, they should switch Martin and McGovern. And that way you don't have Steele and McGovern next to each other. You have McGovern next to Collins and Martin next to Steele.
So if I know he's out for this game, they should make the switch against the Raiders?
If you know Tyron's going to be out for this game, like today, let's just say today they go out there and Tyron just can't go.
Yeah.
They're just going to rule him out. You switch the two.
Yeah.
You help out McGovern with Collins and you help out Steele with Martin.
I'd be down for that.
All right.
That's not a bad idea. Now, again,
by the way, I have no idea if this would work.
Yeah, I know, right?
No idea.
We'd have to ask Mike McCarthy to take us inside the bathroom again.
Yeah.
You want two guys to wipe with their left hands? I don't know about that. That sounds like a video.
It sounds
like a video I don't want to see.
Oh,
so I'll switch my answer back and say, no, keep it as is.
Yeah, I struggle. Assuming they can do it, do it. But if they can't do it,
don't do it.
Then don't do it. Yeah. You know, then don't do it.
Very profound.
If they can't do it, then don't do it.
Yeah, right.
I guess the other thing would be, you know, move Steele to right tackle, Lael to left tackle, and keep everybody else set.
Right.
I guess that's the other option to do.
Yeah, I'd really like to see like Lael be like, hey, I'm the future here. I'm the man. I'm the second, you know, I'm the second tackle. Move me to the left side.
Like, would it be easier for Lael to move to left tackle or Martin to move to left guard?
Or should Nsekhe play left tackle? You give Nsekhe a shot over Steele over there on the left side.
It's an idea.
Yeah.
All right, last one. The Cowboys are in trouble.
No.
They're not in trouble to miss the playoffs. Just okay. Like this is a one and done.
Oh, the Cowboys are a one and done. Well, look, that's why last night we were rooting. We tried to tell you, root for the Giants to win, because now you're the four seed instead of being the three. And what is the difference in terms of who you would have to play as the three versus the four?
Well, if you're the four, then you're going to play the Rams or the Cardinals in the first round. If you're the three, you'll play Minnesota. And if you're the two, you'll play the Eagles.
Well, I'll answer it for today. As of today, right now, the Cowboys are in trouble in terms of being a one and done. Who's going to sit here and say, oh, no worries, no concerns about playing the Rams? I don't want the Rams in the first round. Are you kidding me? I don't want any part of that. Not that the Cowboys can't win. I don't want that as my first round matchup. I want the other team. I mean, we're talking about a 5-team cliff in the NFC. After 5, it's a plummet. Give me Philly. Give me Minnesota. Give me the Saints. Give me those scrubs. Give me those caliber of teams. Don't have me in the 4 spot against Arizona, the Rams, Tampa Bay. I don't want that. You? What do you think, one and done danger?
Well, if they're the 4 seed, I think that one and done danger is real. I don't think they would lose to Minnesota. I don't think they would lose to Minnesota because it would be a home game anyway. The Cowboys play much, much differently at home. I would say their one and done prospects are at like 35-40%.
Win column Sooners. Game over. Final score in the home finale today here in Norman. Oklahoma 28 and Iowa State 21.
All right. That is the call on Sooner Radio, Oklahoma, 28-21 over Iowa State. And it is going to be interesting tonight to see where they put the Sooners and the Oklahoma State Cowboys in the college football playoff rankings. Both teams win. Both teams set up for Bedlam, which is going to be a great game. This is an awesome week because you got conference championship week is next week, right? Where you're going to have, not this coming week, but the following week, we're going to have all these conference tournament championship games. Very exciting time of year. We are going to get a lot, and I mean a lot, of information this week. We got a lot last week already, and then we're going to continue that this week when you're going to have number 4 versus number 6, Ohio State and Michigan, where you're going to have Bedlam. You're going to have a lot of games this week that are going to determine and help kind of give a little bit of clarity to the College Football Playoff Committee and what the College Football Playoff is going to look like. So, does Oklahoma still have a chance? And that answer, I think, is yes. If they beat Oak State, they're live. They're live. Now, make no mistake about it. The committee is going to do two things. They are going to make sure that Notre Dame finds their way in this thing, and they are going to make sure that Cincinnati finds their way out.
Oh, okay. I told you Cincinnati was going to be out. You and Troy didn't want to believe me.
Well, they shouldn't be out. They are as deserving as anybody. However, you've listened to Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix, good friend of the BetQL program. He says you cannot have a team in there that faces 8 teams. They face Kansas 10 times a year. They have 8 teams that recruit outside the top 80 on their schedule. So here we are, final weekend, Iron Bowl. All the trophy games, the Egg Bowl, the Apple Cup, whatever the hell you want to call it, the Civil War, the old school, it's all happening this weekend, Sean. It's exciting. Now, what does this mean? Of course, let's see. You're going to have Ohio State and Michigan cancel each other out this week. One of those two teams is going to lose. Ohio State, I don't believe, can lose and stay in. I do think Alabama can lose and stay in. But if Ohio State loses by 3 to Michigan, I don't know that they're necessarily out. The team to watch out for is Wisconsin. Wisconsin is going to play one of these two teams in the Big Ten championship game. They are live. That is a live dog. In that
really?
Game. They are playing much better football. They found a running game. They're alive against Michigan. They got no chance against Ohio State. They're a Michigan can be had. If Michigan beats Ohio State and loses to Wisconsin, the Big Ten is not going to be represented. They will not be represented in the Final Four.
That's where my godson just went on his college recruiting visit. Wisconsin.
Oh, so I thought he was a receiver.
Yeah, he is.
Why would he go there?
I know.
It's like going to Georgia Tech where they're running the triple option.
Might as well go to Navy.
Yeah.
Might as well go to the Navy. Okay. Hey, Coach McGuire, we're boys. You're my new school, Texas Tech. I'll give you my godson first if you want. Just let me know. I'll redirect him to Lubbock instead of Wisconsin. You're going to want him. He's a stud.
You're going to want him.
Come on, Coach.
Yep, you are going to want him. This weekend, let me just say, this was a relative bad weekend in college football. I'm just going to 52-3, 56-7, 38-7, 56-7, 59-18, 55-0, 23-0. I mean, that was some of the scores of the teams that were ranked in the top 25 against the Schlebs that they were playing in this week. It was a bad weekend of college football. And that's where we get to when we find out who is going to be in the Final Four today. I do believe it's going to be Georgia, Ohio State jumping Alabama, Alabama at 3, and then Cincinnati at 4.
Mm.
If Michigan jumps Cincinnati, you might as well just say forget about it. Cincinnati's never got a chance. They're never going to get in.
Okay, but what if Cincinnati then doesn't stumble and give a reason to get taken out? Then they're going to be trapped with them in there.
Well, see, then the committee's going to have it out. Hey, look, you know, we had them in there.
But what if they don't do anything to screw up?
Well,
you got to do something to screw up to get taken out.
You could play poorly. You could win and play poorly. They've dropped teams.
I know, but what if they don't?
Well, then you say the other team played better. Well, Notre Dame's body of work was better. Well, Oklahoma State's body of work was better.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's body of work was better.
So you think Cincy will be 4?
I think Cincy will be 4 today. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to stay there, but I do think that they will be at number 4 today. How about this? The University of Texas has lost their 6th straight game. And we all know things are not going very well down there in Austin.
Man. Is there a chance that this, like, you and I are in agreement, you don't get rid of Sark after 1 year, but is there a number of games to lose consecutively to make that a different conversation?
Well, did it worked for Dan Mullen. Now, he wasn't fired in his first year, but, I mean, it worked for Dan Mullen. Think about this. Dan Mullen, since Marco Wilson threw the shoe last year against LSU, they're 5-9. That shoe sent off a chain of events, of chain reaction of just garbage for the Florida Gators. There is not that yet for Sark. But it's hard to imagine this Texas team that went into Morgantown and lost to West Virginia, that lost to Iowa State, that lost to Baylor, that lost to Kansas, that lost to Oklahoma, that lost to Oklahoma State, all in succession. It's hard to imagine they bring the same thing back next year. It really, really is hard to imagine they're bringing the same thing back next year. And he is terrible right now as the head coach of Texas. Sark. Very, very bad. But it's getting worse.
Mm.
There's a report out there by Brian Jones, who is a friend of the show. He's CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. Longhorn.
Yep, former Longhorn. And he said that they are playing players based on booster pressure due to race.
Oh, my Lord. Race. That Sark is being pressured to play certain guys because of race. And he would have hoped that these donors had settled down. Apparently, Nick Saban, according to Brian Jones, gave Sark the warning, be careful taking that job.
Don't go there, man. He warned against it. He warned against it.
And Brian Jones said, I would have thought that some of this stuff ended when we were talking about the eyes of Texas. Look, the boosters at the University of Texas sound like, they sound like, a lot of them, an entitled, arrogant, prejudiced group of people. That's what these collection of stories tell us, that they are toxic and poisonous. Now, we know that you got, you know, holier-than-thou D-bags in every program who can write fat checks, and they want to wear their varsity jacket around like they're actually Vince Young or Ricky Williams, but it sounds worse here. It does. This sounds toxic.
It sounds toxic as you know what. It really does. To have, I mean, you know, you had, and Chris Del Conte, the AD, had to account for this and had to answer for this. And he said, completely untrue. None of it's true. Most absurd thing I've ever heard. Absolutely absurd. He said this right in front of the team plane, waiting to board the flight. So Brian Jones heard this from somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he just made it up.
Right.
You know, you gotta wonder how true it is, but, you know, he definitely didn't just make this up out of thin air. Texas has always been a tough place. It's always been a place where the players are coddled and there's too many hands in the kitchen. That's a problem with this job. Likewise, their counterpart at the State University of Florida, Steve Spurrier, left that job because he said, I can't please this fan base. This is Steve Spurrier, the guy who all he did was win there.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer said, I can't please this fan base. You literally have to win every single game there. Otherwise, you're getting run.
Yep.
And that brings us to Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn was the subject of Gary Danielson. Gary Danielson yesterday said, when he was asked who's going to get the Florida job, he didn't predict this, but he did say, keep an eye on Dan Quinn. Keep an eye on that name. Dan Quinn, who was the former defensive coordinator at the University of Florida. Mm. It is something to look out for. He was there under Will Muschamp. He was there for 2 years before taking over in Seattle. Other names for that Florida job include Bob Stoops.
Oh, he's in a good Peloton commercial, yeah, or a riding bike commercial for that college pregame show.
Stoops was on the Spurrier staff back in the 90s before he took over at Oklahoma. Lane Kiffin is another name. Everybody wants Lane Kiffin. Everybody will open
Isn't
the checkbook.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, now here's the guy to ask if you're Lane Kiffin. Do I want to go and deal with that?
And how much better? Look, I know what it's been, but isn't he at a really good job right now?
Well, Ole Miss is a good job for a couple reasons. One, it's in the SEC. And two, if you just win 9 games, they're cool.
And what if you get Arch Manning? What if you know you're getting Arch Manning? Then you don't leave.
Then you don't leave. Like, if you win 9 games at Ole Miss, you're pretty cool. If you win 9 games at Florida, they throw bricks through your window. and you have to, it's a quality of life thing, right? Lane Kiffin knows that at Ole Miss, they're not going to fire him. He's got it made. At Florida, man, the expectations just shoot up. It's like none other in the country. So buyer beware if you're going to take that Florida job. I don't know that I would do it. So that's what we got in the college kegger. One more thing that I do want to bring up. This is a wild thing. The Utah win over Oregon made it to the Pac-12 again, not in the playoff. And we have hit a spot because they cowardly joined up with the Big Ten and the ACC to stop this 12-team playoff. You know, I don't think they want to miss the 12-team playoff right now.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 would love to have the 12-team playoff if they could. And they could have it right now next year, but they're not going to. Luke Fickell's another name for all these jobs at LSU and Florida, but he's going to the Big 12 next year. Does he really want to move?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.